The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, Eid al-Adha Mubarak for our Muslim listeners. Of course, Eid al-Adha is, I think, the biggest festival, the most important festival in the Muslim calendar. It also signals the end of the culmination of the Hajj, which is something that every Muslim is obligated to take part in at least once in their lifetime. And the festival of Eid al-Adha has given the opportunity for regional leaders to be in touch with each other. Prime Minister Yair Lapid has been in touch with the King of Jordan, given an opportunity for them to speak for the first time since he has taken office. It also means that the president has been in touch with the Turkish President Erdogan. And it also means that Defense Minister Benny Gantz has made a trip to visit the Palestinian Authority area and has met with Abu Mazen, with the president of the Palestinian Authority. Things that haven't been happening a great deal in recent times. So there's been a lot of contact being made. Interestingly, Israel's regional cooperation minister, Esawi Frej, has actually made contact with Saudi Arabia, and he has made a special request that the participants in the Hajj would be able to fly directly from Ben Gurion Airport to Jeddah in order to participate in the Hajj. That is not yet taken care of, as far as I understand.
Right.
But he does say, Esawi Frej has said, I want to see the day when I can depart from Ben Gurion to Jeddah to fulfill my religious obligation. That seems to be something which could potentially happen in the near future. But we do know that there is going to be a flight directly from Israel to Saudi Arabia later this week. And that is going to be the flight of the president of the United States, Joe Biden. He will be visiting Israel later this week, and then we'll fly on to Saudi Arabia. So we do know that that particular flight at least will be initiated this week for one person, and potentially maybe for others in the future. Who knows?
Amazing. That would just be just incredible, unimaginable, and fantastic. Two parties within the current coalition have decided to run together in the next election to try to oppose serving Prime Minister Yair Lapid. What's the plan?
Well, so yes, these are two current serving ministers in the coalition government under the Prime Minister Yair Lapid. And they've decided that in order to try and oppose him as well as they possibly could to do the best possible job, they're going to sign a political merger agreement in order to try and literally take votes from Lapid in the next government, in the next serving Knesset. And of course, we're talking about Benny Gantz and Gideon Saar. Benny Gantz, of course, senior position in the current government as the Minister of Defense, and Gideon Saar as the Minister of Justice. Benny Gantz is bringing his blue and white party to this particular agreement, and Gideon Saar, his New Hope party. Benny Gantz's blue and white is, of course, Kahol Levan, mm-hmm. and the New Hope party is the Tikva Chadasha party. There was some suspicion, or there is some suspicion, in as far as the polls are concerned, that Gideon Saar may not even cross the threshold to serve in the next Knesset. And so from a point of view of Gideon Saar, this is quite an important lifeline for him, because his party may not be there to serve in the next Knesset. And there was some speculation from the latest polls that he may or may not be there. So this agreement with Benny Gantz is a kind of a lifeline to make sure that he will be participating in the next Knesset. Benny Gantz's blue and white party was considered to be worthy of 8 or 9 seats in the new Knesset, and that's relatively constant in terms of what he has today. And I think the whole plan around this coming together of the new parties is that Benny Gantz is going to make a very, very serious run for prime minister. I think that that's what this is all about, a very anti-Netanyahu ploy by Benny Gantz and Gideon Saar, because, of course, both of them have come through the Likud at one point or another, and even though they are considered to be centrist parties, mm-hmm. rather than running on the left or the right, this is really an attempt to work against former Prime Minister Netanyahu in terms of trying to position the political lie of the land in the new Knesset. And so both of these leaders have been within the Likud at one point or another, and of course are making a statement very much against the Likud now going into the next election. The interesting thing, of course, is that Benny Gantz will be number one on the list, and he is making, as I've said, he's making a statement about the possibility of running for prime minister. I think that that really is where he wants to be. Gideon Saar, number two on the list, and of course the various members of their two parties distributed on the list thereafter. But this is definitely a ploy in order to position Benny Gantz as a potential prime ministerial candidate in the next Knesset.
It's just incredible to watch as the landscapes change and evolve as we head towards it. I'm sure there'll be a lot more that it's still going to do. So let's talk about President Joe Biden's trip to Israel. So when does that kick off?
Well, he arrives on Wednesday and he will be here until Friday. So not a very long trip, but considered to be quite important in many respects. So we understand that a lot of security planning has already taken place. There has been some joint cooperation between Israel and the US Special Forces, who have apparently been doing some rehearsals and who have been making some plans ahead of the landing of Air Force One on Wednesday afternoon. It's interesting that the official word, the instruction that has been given, is to try and disrupt Israel's general day-to-day activity as little as possible. Yeah, about that. We're going to be closing the airspace to allow Air Force One to land on Wednesday, and the airspace will be closed again on Friday when it takes off towards Saudi Arabia. The road between the airport and Jerusalem will be entirely closed while President Joe Biden and his entourage make their way from the airport on Wednesday in the direction of Jerusalem. He will be staying, we are told, at the King David Hotel in Jerusalem. Very, very historical, very, very famous, and also a hotel that has has been host to a few US presidents in the past, and not just one or two, but quite a number. And so that is apparently where President Joe Biden will be staying. We understand that Route 1 from pretty much from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem will be closed in both directions on Wednesday between 3 and 5 in the afternoon to allow the presidential convoy to travel safely, we are told. We are also told that Route 6, which is a parallel route that could potentially be used to bypass the main Route 1, that also will be closed from near the airport to Jerusalem, and traffic will be diverted to alternative routes. I don't know how many alternative routes there really are to those two routes, but apparently it's going to be Carmageddon on Wednesday when President Biden arrives. And the police have warned that there may be traffic jams.
Oh, there might be, really.
As a result. I think there may be traffic jams on an average day when Joe Biden is not arriving in Israel. There will almost definitely be absolute murder on the roads in Israel Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Thursday, of course, while President Biden is in Jerusalem, he'll be moving around Jerusalem. Quite a number of the roads will be closed in the area of Jerusalem while he moves around there. We are told that he will be attending the opening of the Maccabi Games, Howard.
Oh, wow.
On Thursday evening.
Wow.
Yes.
Jeez.
So that is
because he doesn't believe that
moment.
Jews can play sport. He wants to go and see it for himself.
Well, apparently he's a keen cyclist, although
yes.
he does
fall over
from time to time. that he will be at the opening of the Maccabi Games on Thursday evening. And we're told that on Friday, he will pay a visit to Mahmoud Abbas, to the Palestinian Authority, before returning to the airport and making his way back onto Air Force One, and of course towards Saudi Arabia, which will be his next stop on this particular tour. So what is the trip really all about? And, you know, there has been this article written in the Washington Post by Joe Biden saying that he's trying to bring together the Middle East and to create even more cooperation between various parties in the Middle East than was the case before. He is also apparently quite publicly trying to undo some of the damage that he claims was done by his predecessor, former President Donald Trump. I'm not sure whether that's really true, because one of the things that one cannot deny that happened during the Trump era was, of course, the Abraham Accords. And really what he's trying to do now by bringing Saudi Arabia in is to expand upon the Abraham Accords rather than to undo them. I think that would be immensely damaging if he was to try to undo all of that. We have to acknowledge that the Abraham Accords, that the signing of the agreements between Israel and
changed the political landscape in the Middle East. I think that is incredible what it achieved.
It absolutely did, but I think it would be also pertinent to make the point that that doesn't happen in 3 or 4 years.
Fair enough.
Those
absolutely.
Agreements were really being baked already for decades. And so that's really something, even though it happened during the presidency of Donald Trump, and one cannot deny that he really pushed the heads together and really made massive effort in order to bring that to a culmination during his presidency. But that really wasn't only the work that he did. There was massive amounts of work that went on for decades that preceded the signing of those Abraham Accords. And of course, President Joe Biden will be seeking to try to expand that. Is the lie of the land ready for an agreement under the Joe Biden presidency between Israel and Saudi Arabia? I have my personal doubts. I don't think that that's achievable right now. I don't think that the Saudi people are ready for this. I don't think that the Saudi population are quite ready, even though I think that at a governmental level, I think that the Saudis would very much welcome the opportunity to sign some sort of an informal arrangement with Israel and to enter into diplomatic relations. But I'm not sure that we are quite ready to see that happen yet. It would be a pleasant surprise for me if it did happen, and I would certainly welcome the opportunity to. But I think that the main reason why Joe Biden is really in the Middle East right now, if you really want to hear what my views, is less about trying to form this relationship between Israel and Saudi Arabia, and more just to do a public tour to show that he still supports Israel, that the Biden administration is supporting Israel, and perhaps even more importantly than that, to go and sit down with the oil producing nations, which he will do in Saudi Arabia, and really talk oil prices. That's really what's driving Joe Biden right now. That's really why the timing of this is so important. That's why he's in the Middle East. It's really all about oil and gas prices, and I think much, much less about international diplomacy, my own personal view.
I tend to agree with you. It could also be about Iran, which is my next question to you. Is I was speaking a little bit earlier in our news roundup about Iran, talk saying that they have advanced their production or their progress towards a nuclear Iran. What's the story here?
Yeah, so the latest story from Iran, and of course there's going to be stories every single day because there's just so much happening on the Iran front right now, not only in terms of some of these mishaps that go on in Iran from time to time that we delighted to talk about, but because also that Iran is really quite serious about progressing their nuclear program. And we see this now in the last few days when Iran, it has been announced, has implemented these more advanced centrifuges at their Fordow nuclear plant. Now, all the time that Iran progresses its nuclear production capability, one assumes and understands that this is not in order to produce electricity, which is what they constantly claim is the main purpose of their nuclear program. This is really all about trying to join the club of countries that have a nuclear weapon in order to be able to really extend their reach, extend their terror activities, and of course entrench their strength within this particular area. And of course that threat comes mostly towards Israel, which is why Israeli intelligence is so engaged on the issue of Iran. That's why I talk so much about Iran, because we see it as one of the main existential threats that potentially exist against the state of Israel. And of course this announcement that then the Fordow plant is going to be expanded with these more advanced centrifuges that could potentially take it nearer and nearer to producing that nuclear weapon, that elusive nuclear weapon that they so much seek, is very, very concerning for Israel particularly, but it should be concerning for the international community at large.
It really should be. And of course, this is something that is just heading towards a conclusion, in my view.